This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Getting you what you need to know. Power Talk. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
Thank you for staying with us. Thank you to Nyaka Latefo and also to Lebogang Pokela for keeping us up to date with the headlines. Let's dance. Let's dance. Dun, 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 dun. That's a song by David Bowie. I probably didn't get the instrumentation right, but you know, it's the principle. Let's dance right now, okay? As an art form, it holds great significance in many, many cultures. In fact, as I look up right now, there's Al Jazeera. Here are Shaolin monks in Asia dancing as they prepare for martial arts. So dancing is leisure. Dancing is expression. Dancing can also be used in spirituality, going into a trance, really connecting you through the feet to the ancestors, the lifted up arms to the higher power. And dancing is just an expression of joy wherever you are, whether you're in Asia, Polynesia, Native America, Europe, South America. And we also know that in Africa, a lot of the Yoruba, Igbo dance moves, the Zulu dance moves, Inkosikazi Masina, all of those have started to be incorporated in international choreography, even ballet internationally. So there's a lot to be said about dance and connecting cultures across the world. Now, the University of Johannesburg's Arts and Culture has created a dance season called Joburg Moves, and it's in the style of a fringe platform, which includes a diverse range of dance companies coming together, independent choreographers, artists, and also photographers who love to tell stories of dance in their exhibitions. They're coming through with a range of discussions, workshops, and masterclasses as well. So let's dance. Let's move. Lesego van Niekerk is the choreographer and director. Good morning.
Good morning, Lerato. So nice to speak to you again. How are you?
I'm fine, my lovely. And obviously, I love the subject matter. I can't dance. I've got two left feet. But you know what? I dance anyway, because isn't there that saying, dance like no one's watching?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But as a choreographer, I'm also known to make anyone dance. So I am going to cancel your first statement and say you probably can dance. You've just never been in my class.
My sister, I've been trying. That Chualabam one. I cannot coordinate the shoulders, the hands and the legs. It's like I can only concentrate on one. But if I'm doing the legs now, I can't do the arms at the same time.
The pressure is too much.
But what it does tell us, you know, the amount of TikTok videos and challenges that involve music and dance, and then they cross-pollinate across the world. People are doing a South African challenge or this challenge. People love to dance, Lesego. Why is that?
People love to dance, and I don't know if I know why is that, but I think dance is such a natural thing, you know. You were speaking about just of dance growing up. If you think about how we grew up playing games like Bomarabaraba and those kind of things, it's not necessarily a dance, but if you look at the movement nature of it, it easily translates into a dance. If you think about us in church, when we sing in church, there's always going to be that touch step here and there.
Yes.
You know, if you think about us as parties, at parties, if you play a Brenda Fassie Vulindlela, we're definitely going to do the step. So I don't know why we love dance, but I think dance is such a natural go-to that it just forms part of who we are, and it just forms part of our culture as human beings.
Okay, and obviously it finds different expression across the world, different cultures, but the common denominator is everybody loves to do it. It's just how they do it that's different. So let's talk about the hows. When we talk about an expression of dance in Africa, what are we seeing in terms of the physical movement, the physiology of dance, the music in the dance, the meaning in the dance?
Yeah, sorry, I lost you there, but I'll pick up from where you where I heard you towards the end, the meaning of dance, African dance. You know, I think about, for example, like dance, and you know, it's very rooted in the stamping of the feet and raising up the dust on the floor. And it makes me realize that our ancestors, when they were doing these kind of dances, it was actually communicating. Firstly, communicating about their environment, communicating also with their ancestors. There's a reason why we stamp on the ground. And if you look across the board of different African dances, you look at the Zulu dance, Indlamu, definitely, you know, they're continuously stamping into the ground. If you look at Setswana again, even the Bedi dance, it's continuously stamping into the ground. So it tells me that our ancestors were quite intentional with movement and how they crafted their movement for their tribe.
I love that. Stomping into the ground. So there's something about making dance earthen, connecting with the earth, and kicking up the dust. And we see that even in West African dances.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And is it, do you think, because historically there's a lot of connection with the ancestors, this idea that we are of the soil and of the ancestors. So the barefooted stomping connects you, brings you closer to those ancestors, do you think?
Completely, Lerato. I'm a firm believer that not just dance, I'm a firm believer that art is very spiritual. And every time I kind of give this little monologue, I always refer back to the great Sanusi Ukredo Mutwa. And, you know, listening to a lot of his interviews and a lot of his, you know, information and all the recordings that he has, he always speaks about the things that he sees. Mm. It's hard for him to explain what he sees, the knowledge that he downloads. Mm. So he expresses it in the form of creating, you know, writing down a song, or writing down a play, or creating some pottery work, or drawing an artwork. So his way of expressing the knowledge and the visions that he sees, he often used art to express that. So I think art is highly spiritual, and I think that the suppression of art is very dangerous, because in a way then, if art is spiritual, then we're almost then suppressing a part of our spirit.
Suffocating people. Okay,
absolutely.
Let's talk about other dance forms, because, you know, and it's also the use of language, isn't it, Lesoga? When we say in Europe, it's classical ballet, it's classical this, as if everything else doesn't have rhyme or reason. But in any case, be that as it may, you know, what does dance tell us about European traditions? And you will not believe this. If you turned on your television to Al Jazeera right now, as you and I are in conversation, they are doing an entire documentary around Shaolin monks and focus very much on their dance routines synergized with martial arts right now as we speak. So there's just so much complex, beautiful history and culture to dance.
Absolutely. You know, you made such a good example with, like, classical ballet. And I love what they've done with ballet. And I wish that we would jump on the bandwagon and actually own our own dance that way. So if we use classical ballet as an example, when you study classical ballet, every little movement that you do in ballet has a word. So if you're going to circle your foot around yourself, it's a rond de jambe. If you're going to move your feet, you're moving from first position to second position to third, etc. And it's basically creating a practice. It's creating a system that you can follow to then qualify for something. And imagine if we did that for Tswana dance. Imagine if we did that for Zulu dance. I'm often quite irritated when I see internationals coming to South Africa and they take one Zulu dance, and then they think they've got it, because we don't have curriculum, we don't have accreditation, we don't even have a word for some of the things that we do. We know what Ndlamu is, but there's so many little things that happen in between Zulu dance that are not necessarily named, and you can't really, you can't kind of classify it. So this European comes to South Africa, they take one Zulu dance, they learn how to do Ndlamu, they go to Europe, and they own our stuff. Because we are not owning our stuff. But there's no way in the world can you teach a ballet class if you do not have an R.E.D. certificate or a Chiketi certificate.
Okay.
Because they've managed to then own their stuff. And I really wish we would just jump on the bandwagon.
And I just want us to make it clearer what you're saying. So what you're saying is, in ballet, every step has a name. Every movement has a name. There's a pirouette. So there is a technique to it. Even if you're dancing fluidly, there's a technique, there's a method to it, and it's coded. If we could do that with African dance, if we could classify each step, code it, explain how the leg merges into the small of the back so that you don't break your back. If we could do that, then we could intellectualize our dances and it would not be so easy for people to steal our work.
Absolutely. And then it would create more work for dancers, and it would create more work for teachers. And we could actually then formally spread our dance styles internationally. And unfortunately, that's not happening. And I'd like to make an example with a South African international dancing choreographer, Vincent Mansour, a living legend. Mm. He has now moved to France, and he's been living in France for quite a while, because he's welcomed in France. What he does is valued, you know. But he has come up with a dance technique called the Koba technique. And he's tried to accredit it, he's tried to formalize it in South Africa, and we just don't get the value of it. So he's moved to France, and he's doing that in France. And it breaks my heart, because why does he have to catch an entire flight and go all the way across the world just for somebody to actually... And Koba is a Tswana word. Koba means bend. It's a Tswana word. He has to go to France to get a Tswana.
Trademarked.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's really crazy. And I think it goes back to the idea that maybe we just don't value. I don't know. Is it a question of value? Is it a question of understanding? Yeah. I'm not really sure what the issue is. But what I do know is that we're not doing what we need to do to own our own dance and our own art.
I guess maybe, if I hazard a guess, and it's a guess, I guess maybe because, you know, drawing on what you said earlier, dance is almost spiritual as much as it's physiological. And you can't really codify that. What you're feeling, you can only express it. You can't write it down in steps, in rhythm. It just is, it's just very organically expressed. And so you can't commercialize the spiritual. But in Europe, they seem to have been able to commercialize the spiritual. If we were to say ballet is as much a spiritual art form as any other, they've been able to do it. And that's why they can run international concerts, classes, work with symphony orchestras, create an entire industry around it, because they were able to monetize the spiritual, which some people would say is sacrilege in Africa.
Absolutely. And again, I wonder if it's just the way that we live. You know, like I'm saying, I grew up dancing even before I knew I was dancing. You know, you dance in church, you dance when you're playing with your friends in the street. And I think it's a very different culture to Europeans. You know, I think the way they consume art is quite different. It's very formal. So maybe it's also in the way that we've historically approached the idea of art. I think for us, it's never been something that we put on, perhaps. It's just something that we are. And so when we start talking about formalizing and that kind of thing, it's like, but what are you talking about? This is what we do. Whereas if you think about theater culture in Europe, already in the 15, 1600s, Shakespeare was writing plays specifically to perform for the king and the queen, you know. So the approach to art is also different. And I think it's worth mentioning that maybe that might be where the difference also lies.
I love your expression. Art is not something we put on. It's something that we are. Yeah, and
absolutely.
So you don't have to intellectualize this thing. It's something that you just are. And this reminds me of a video this week, I digress, Lesejo, of the late Whitney Houston sharing a stage with Pavarotti. He was performing an aria. She was watching. And then he gestured to her, and then she just naturally sang a soprano. She'd never sung opera in her life, but did it better than anybody else, because she just is. She just is a singer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I could not agree with you more. It's who we are. But I think we still need to... I'm a firm believer that in the South African context, you know, we have such a problem with unemployment and such a problem with drugs, alcohol, young people not knowing, not having a vision, not having hope, just, you know, just walking around every single day idle, not really knowing what to do. And I think the arts is really one of our answers. It's not the answer, but it's one of the tools that we can use to bring hope back into our communities. Anytime I drive in the township, I am appalled at the amount of young people that are sitting on the corners of streets at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, simply because they actually don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
And then because I'm the person that I am, then I'll stop and I'll ask, where's the community arts center? And they'll say, what is that?
Yeah. Okay. And perhaps,
they'll say, what is that?
And perhaps this brings us to Joburg Moves, the new season of Joburg Moves.
Yes.
It's a small but a significant intervention in addressing a lot of these sociological issues you're talking about, societal issues you're talking about, but also nurturing a love for the creative arts, but in this particular context, dance. For those who can dance, but didn't know that they could dance as an art form, as a career, as a way of telling their story, just thought, it's about jaiva mos. That's it. And you're saying to them, no, you, it's more than khotseba kho jaiva.
Yes. You know, thank you so much for profiling Joburg Moves. I think it's such an incredible initiative that the University of Johannesburg Arts and Culture has taken on. Personally, as a Johannesburg dweller, born and bred in Johannesburg. Hello?
Yeah, sorry. I thought we'd lost you there. Go ahead.
Yes. You know, just as a Johannesburg dweller, I'm so grateful to the University of Johannesburg Arts and Culture for bringing us a platform like this, because we're the city of gold. And for the city that should be buzzing and making the most noise, I think we're the city with the least platforms to celebrate dance, to make dance visible and accessible. And I remember the days of the Johannesburg Dance Umbrella, those kind of days, and it was the days when I started, when I was still a young spring chicken, when I started dancing in Johannesburg as a professional. And I just remember how visible dance was and how easily accessible it was. And I think it was part of the reason why I was able to accelerate the way that I did in my career. And I look at things today and I really feel sorry for these young dancers that are coming into the market, because dance is not visible, dance is not accessible, and there isn't a very clear network in Johannesburg of dance, and it makes it difficult for these young people to penetrate the industry. So I'm very grateful to the University of Johannesburg for noticing the gap in the market and then actually doing something about it, because we've all noticed the gap in the market, but nobody's actually taken the initiative to say, let's create a platform. Let's all get under one roof. Let's all celebrate dance and let's all be visible together.
Okay, so what exactly is going to be taking place at Joburg Joburg Moves Dance Season? Because I hear that there are workshops, there are master classes, there are panel discussions. So it's an array of activities.
Absolutely. It's I don't want to say it's a typical dance festival, but that's really what it is. So you'll find what you'd find at a dance festival. Definitely the selling point is obviously the performances and the opening, the festival with the Moving Into Dance, doing Umtombo and Baobab. And Moving Into Dance, as a curator, the reason I went with them is because Moving Into Dance was started in Sylvia Glass's garage back in 1978 or 1974, I might be mistaken there. And I just thought, my God, MID is the backbone of Johannesburg dance, really, if you think about it. They are the anchor of Johannesburg dance, and I thought they are the right people to open the festival with. And the festival then, or the season rather, continues on with the likes of your Joburg Ballet, continues on with independent choreographers like Smangaliso Ngwenya, Tamsanga Chabalala. And these are all really solid, recognizable names in Johannesburg dance. But I didn't want to leave it there, because dance, contrary to popular belief, dance is multidimensional. It's not just a physical element. There's so many elements to dance. And I thought, what other elements can I bring into this season to just expose people to different levels and dimensions of dance? And a wonderful man, teacher, choreographer, David April, has been, for the last few years, taken upon himself to go to every single show that he can in Johannesburg and take pictures of the dancers on the stage. Mm-hmm. And it started to become a thing where you go to the theater and you want to spot David April, because you know somebody is out there taking it upon themselves to document Johannesburg dance. And I just thought to myself, well, this is wonderful. Can we actually not have an open dance exhibition? I don't think we've ever seen something like that in South Africa. If we have, please let me know. But how beautiful would it be that just before you walk into the theater in the foyer, there's an open exhibition. And so we've got this exhibition that's opening on the night of the opening night. So we'll open the exhibition and then we'll all move into the theater to then watch these wonderful dance pieces from MIP. So that's an element that I am particularly proud of.
So there's a collection of photographs as well, is what you're saying. This exhibition is then the collection of photographs demonstrating the talent that exists, the wealth of talent that exists.
Absolutely. The wealth of talent that exists, but also it's actually documenting the amount of dance that is actually happening in Johannesburg. Okay. It's just happening in silos. We're not doing it together. It's happening over there, and it's happening over there, and it's happening over there. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity to highlight that dance exists, guys. Here it is. It's in the pictures. Dance exists. Can we make it exist together? Because once we do stuff together, there's power in collaboration. Now we're sharing audiences. Now we're sharing so many other resources that will make things a little bit easier for us to keep this train going, if you get what I mean, Larato.
Yeah.
So, yes, and two other elements that are then in the season, we've got workshops, of course, dance workshops by incredible women, and I'm very proud that most of our workshops are going to be conducted by women. We've got Rosaline Wilkins, who is the lead dancer at Vianney Dance Theatre, and she's teaching a dance workshop called Expression of Movement. We've got David April teaching a dance photography workshop, which we're inviting videographers, photographers to actually come in. How do we then start collaborating and crossing across different genres and spheres of art to create art? And then we've got Sonia Khatebe and Michelle Dalu from I believe she's from France, that are going to then be teaching a workshop on creating dance for young audiences, which again is very important because I find that today the content that we create, most of it is not child-friendly. And so I wonder, what are children watching, you know?
Yeah.
Even when I go to the theater, I'm like, oh, this is a lot. I can't bring my niece to this.
Yeah.
So I think it's important that we go back to the drawing board. How do we make valuable content for young people? And finally, Lerato, we then have panel discussions. And I particularly like this because dancers are known to be just bodies. And when you start speaking as a dancer, people are surprised that you have a voice. And so I really want to start creating the culture of dancers having a voice. So let's come into a room. Let's discuss. Let's discuss our industry.
Yeah.
Let's discuss our environment, our ecosystem, our industry. And that's basically making up the dance season, Joburg Move.
Okay, so there's a lot of activities which are across disciplines. There's photography, there's dialogue, conversation, there's the actual performance as well, there are lectures. But what about the genres? Are we talking about particular aspects of dance or all aspects of dance? I hear that there's going to be a moonlight waltz choreographed by Craig Pedro from Joburg Ballet. So what's going on there?
So the Moonlight, Ukukhanya Kwenyanga, Moonlight Waltz, is by Craig Pedro, who is ballet. And Ukukhanya Kwenyanga is a ballet. It's a classical, classical ballet. So you can expect to see ballerinas in point shoes, not necessarily tutus, but in point shoes. And what I particularly love about Ukukhanya Kwenyanga is that it really underscores the sentiment of Johannesburg. Very, very simply put, the synopsis is about all that we have been through as Johannesburg dwellers. And, you know, we've been through so much. Think about just the last year. You're thinking about earthquakes. You're thinking about, load shedding. All of these, you know, the zamazamas, everything that we deal with as Johannesburgers. But for some reason, we still manage to walk around, smile, be happy, and dance in the moonlight. And so I remember the night when I went to see Ukukhanya Kwenyanga the first time, I was expecting the somber, dark ballet because, wow, it's depicting the darkness of Johannesburg. And I got there, and Craig did a brilliant thing. He completely flipped it, and the ballerinas and the dancers on stage are so happy. They are dancing around, sashaying and jetting. And I thought, well, this is twisted because that's what we do as people. No matter what we face as Johannesburg dwellers, somehow we still manage to get up every day hit the road, get into the hustle and bustle, okay, and do it with a smile on our faces. Fantastic. And I thought, well, this is perfect. We need to put this in Joburg Ballet. Okay. So, in Joburg Move. So that's just one of the productions that we have. Okay. Sorry, I'm just going to move to another room.
We've actually come to the end of our conversation. So perhaps if you could just help us know, when is this happening, Lesego?
Joburg Move. So we open next week, Tuesday, the 23rd of April. And we go on until Friday, the 26th of April. You can get tickets online on Plankton. You can go to University of Johannesburg, any platform of UJ, Instagram, Facebook. You can go onto the website, and you can purchase tickets for any of the shows.
Okay, so 23rd to the 26th of April, that's next week, Joburg Moves. It's taking place at the UJ Arts Center, so the University of Johannesburg's Arts Center. There's conversation, there's photography, there's videography, there's dance of different genres, from ballet to modern dance to African dance, whatever it is. And if you think you've got a love for dance or a talent for dance, this is where you want to be, to see what levels of creativity exist in the city of Johannesburg and what available facilities there are to nurture the talent of your young dancers in your community. Lesego van Niekerk, choreographer and director of Joburg Moves.
Let's dance to the song we're playing on the radio. Let's sway while color lights up your face.
I told you there's a song by David Bowie, Let's Dance.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.